Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to our time today and our videos concerning God's determination. One of the reasons why this video series is so important is because when you see how purposeful God is in everything that he does, how faithful and yet how strong his desire is to show up and manifest in your life everything that Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has accomplished for us. It emboldens you and gives you strength. I've said this before, but in the book of Acts, you can see that there is a prescription for results. Number one, the disciples, those that were born again, were filled with the Holy Ghost. Number two, they stepped out in boldness. And number three, miracles were produced. And so seeing how determined God is to work on your behalf is such a great influx of power and encouragement and strength to your backbone to cause you to step beyond yourself and see God. Well, as you know, we do these series of videos, number one, so that people can learn that God can be tangible and real in your life. He doesn't just have to be the God of the Bible in just the Bible. He can come off the pages of the Bible and be the God in your life. You know, there's 28 chapters in Acts, but you are the 29th chapter, and people want to read your story. And God being real to you is the reason why faith becomes just a natural and normal response to God, and answers follow. And as a result, then you have testimonies that you can share with other people about how good God is. So let's just jump right into the invitation of Jesus to every single person on the face of this earth to understand and to know and to enjoy God the Father and a relationship with the Lord like he has with his Father. Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Well, as I've already mentioned, we're looking at God's determination, and we're going to go right over here to Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 13 right on down to verse 20. This time I'm going to go ahead and speak in the Message Bible. And we've not been able to really get through these verses because there's so much in them. And I don't want to take too much time, but I certainly want to get to some of the other scriptures that I have that really complement what I'm about to read. So listen to this. Verse 13. "When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line." Now, God has never failed. He cannot fail. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. Amen. And if you can see the sun coming up in the morning and going down at night, and again repeating itself day after day, you know for sure God has not fallen off the throne. And everything he has spoken, he will make it good. Now, he spoke to the prophet Isaiah, saying this over in the 55th chapter, and around the 8th verse, he said, "Even as the snow and the rain come from heaven and fall to the earth, so my word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return void unto me. What I have spoken, that will I do." God is very serious about making sure every single thing that he's promised us comes to pass. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. Amen. I mean, that's very simple. But let's just look here. It goes on to say, he said, "I'll promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless." Abraham stuck it out and got everything that he had promised to him. Now in the King James, it says, "Through patience, He endured, and received the promise. Now, folks, the patience and the enduring is not because you have to endure something in this life according to what Jesus has already made good through the death, burial, and resurrection. If you'll go back and study this out, when God spoke to Abram, he said, at the appointed time, you shall have a son. So there was an appointed time. Abraham had to remain steadfast and fixed and immovable for the appointed time to come. He didn't have to wait on his manifestation. That's the kind of thing that we speak about today, I believe very incorrectly, because it's actually giving people a wiggle room to just accepting that God wants you healed, healthy, whole, blessed, prosperous, and living above right here and now. He doesn't want you to wait for it. And I know that, you know, you'll see individuals that will receive their healing after the third day, the third week. Sometimes people, they just begin to get better and better and better, you know, over a course of a long time. But folks, that's not God's highest and that's not God's best. That's called God's faithful to do his part. Jesus has already accomplished the victory, and we're taking some time in this world figuring out how to connect with God so the power of God can do its work. No, like some think, you don't need a gift of the Spirit to have an instantaneous manifestation. Thank the Lord that everything that Jesus has accomplished is ready for you today to receive and to enjoy. It goes on to say, when people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there's any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. Isn't that amazing? So now you take that particular thought that we know all so well as far as lawyers and courts and judges and things being done according to contracts. Now take that to the court of heaven and realize that God on purpose made a contract with himself on your behalf so that it would never be messed up, but for the sake of making sure that anybody that believes, boom, instantaneously, they shall receive. You know, what part in Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 did he speak and say, ask and you shall receive, means ask and sometimes you do and sometimes you don't? No, again, that's religion. Let's get religion out of the way, get all of the wiggle room out of the way, and get very absolute with the way that God does what he does. Amen. It goes on to say, when God wanted to guarantee his promise, he gave his word a rock-solid guarantee. God can't break his word, and because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. So when we look at this passage here, folks, this is so, so good. But again, we're talking about covenants, and God on purpose created covenants and put himself into a covenant system so that we would have such boldness, such confidence. And again, a word that we use in this day and time, but I don't think we use it as well as maybe others did in the past. The word absolute. God made everything about what he says and what he does 100% absolute. And that is the bedrock of your confidence to stand in the midst of any storm and not be moved. Because if God said it, it comes to pass. Now, how we present ourselves faithful to what God's covenant shall do to us has everything to do with whether or not we walk in the blessing that we need to receive. Now, I'll just share this again. We've shared some of these comments in the past. I don't want to take too much time with this. But back in the day of prayer and healing school, when I worked at the Kenneth Hagin Ministries, these kind of thoughts, right around December 1994 into January 1995, were the thoughts that God used to challenge my heart to the victory that could be received and could be seen available in healing school. Instead of sending people home without any results, just endeavoring to encourage them to believe a little better than they believed when they came, which obviously wasn't enough because they were still sick, we sent them home actually healed. Now that's a new concept for a healing center. Amen. That you'd actually send them home healed. And that's exactly what we're doing here in Castle Rock, Colorado, is we're starting a healing center and it's up and running. We're going 2 weeks out of the month. Every month, of course, it's random weeks, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In fact, tomorrow will be one of the days that we, Tuesday, the 19th of April, and Wednesday, the 20th of April, will be when we're actually in the Healing Center, 7 o'clock at night at the Holiday Inn there in Castle Rock. Well, what's our purpose again? Our purpose is to see people healed. Let me tell you one of the stories, and then I'll jump back into where we are here with our scriptures. You know, just last week, we just had some wonderful folks come, some people that we really enjoy, Pastor Joe and Alexa, and they came and brought their Alexa's mother-in-law or Joe's mother, and they all came. They got 6 kids, and man, I tell you what, it's a beautiful family, and we were having such a good time, and after the service, you know, I asked her, because she was actually walking with a cane, I said, well, let's pray for those legs. Come to find out, her legs really weren't the problem as far as their functionality. It was just more of she was a little bit afraid of imbalance. And so then as I got talking to her, I found out that her hand, her left hand, had all kinds of numbness right down the pinky, down into the palm, where she couldn't feel that. And there was all this tingling going on in that particular finger, right out to the end of the finger. Well, you know, if you've never had that, you might look at that and say, well, that's not too bad. You got 9 other fingers, you know, and the rest of your hands. And there's a point that actually is true about that. But if you've never had that, you don't know how irritating that can be. And actually, it's kind of a gnawing pain. And it's not fun by any measure at all. And so I just grabbed her hand in my hand and began to just massage her hand like that. And I said, I just thank the Lord that there's life flowing into your hand right now. Now give me your hand that according to you is a good hand that doesn't have any problems. She gave me that hand and I said, now how wonderful it is that I can push on this hand right here and there's no problem. And she said, no, there's no problem. It feels great. I said, can you take those same feelings to your other hand? And she kind of looked at me a little funny and they said, no, I mean, those good feelings that you have where normal is wonderful and you can actually rejoice over it that, yes, this hand is perfect. She said, okay. And then I began to grab that hand that had the little bit of numbness and that had all that tingling through her hand. I began to grab that hand and massage it a little bit more. And all of a sudden, her eyes got a little big. She said, I think it's changing. I said, well, let's go back to the other hand and remember what it's like to have a perfect hand because God believes your other hand is just as perfect as this one. And I grabbed her hand and massaged it a little bit. And I said, isn't that so nice? Can't you get excited about how you can use that hand anytime you want and there's no problem? She said, yes, I can. I said, get as excited about this one. And grabbed the left hand and began to massage it. Her eyes got real big and she said, she started moving it like this. She said, there is no more numbness. There is no more burning. There is no more tingling in my hand. She said, it's all gone. It's all gone. Well, you say, what happened right there? Well, number one, God is involved, especially when we can see life just like he sees life. So getting her to be excited about a hand that's perfect when everything in the feelings and the physical body would say it's not perfect is her grabbing hold of what Jesus has already done for her. And it was just a very simple way of watching God, one step to the next, one little feeling to the next, remove all of the bad so that she could see that she actually had a perfect hand and it was wonderful and well. You know, that's what Jesus did with that man with the withered hand. He had a withered hand. He couldn't move that hand, maybe a stroke or something. And Jesus looked at him and said, stretch out your hand. He didn't say, give me the withered hand. He said, stretch it out. Which means Jesus believed that in his presence, the fullness of joy not only existed, but the completion of everyone's healing existed. In other words, if you are the solution to every problem, then in what measure is a problem a problem? And the answer would be, then what people call problems are just occasions for us to reveal that there's a tremendous solution. I had a friend of mine years ago, went on to be with the Lord, but his name was Buzzy Sutherland. He always used to say it like this. He said, when they tried to teach me the algebra back in ninth grade, he said, boy, I really struggled with all those X and those Y's, you know, and what they were supposed to equal. He said, on the final exam, my final exam was just this one question. X plus Y equals 49. Figure out what X plus Y is. He said, I walked right up to the teacher's desk, put that paper right on her desk, and I said, what do I care what X and Y is? If I've got the 49, I've got the answer. And you know, as fun as that is, the truth of it is amazing, because if you've got the answer, it could be, you know, 48 plus 1, it could be 52 minus 3. It doesn't matter what the problem is. When you've got the answer, you've already, praise the Lord, are in the driver's seat. Amen. And this is exactly what God does for us with covenant. He provides covenant for us so that we have 100% absolute confidence to exactly what he said and what he will do. Now, I love some of these thoughts here, and I'll just read them to you for just a moment because we're almost ready to stop here for today. The time is going by so fast, and I've got some wonderful things still to share with you. But Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now, when the Lord speaks like this, we want to be able to grab a hold of that and believe that with all our heart, right in the midst of something, a crisis, some negativity. And we want to believe what God said. Well, it is the covenant that backs these thoughts that gives you the right to step beyond yourself and believe these things. And when I mean believe, I mean get involved. You know, someone said, well, I believe I'm healed. My next question would be, well, are you back at work? Well, no, not yet. Well, then you really don't believe you're well, because if you believed you're well, you'd already be making a phone call and saying, well, it's time for me to get back to work. We had someone just recently we ministered to, and she looked at me and she said, well, it's time to get back to work. I thought, well, the lady's got it. She's got it. I don't have to say another word. She grabbed the hold of it. She saw it. It wasn't something that I had to tell her so she would mimic. It was something that was real to her in her heart. And the first thing she thought of was, well, let's move on. Meaning, let's get back to work and let's go. Well, folks, that's what it's like when you believe God. And God makes a covenant so that everything he says for you to believe is backed to the hilt, so that you will never falter, fail, question, become skeptical as to the promise and the result. Folks, this is so good. I got to stop right here. It's almost 18 minutes already. So go on over to YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us to get these videos as well. But we want to surely request of you that you would experience God every single day and send us your wonderful testimonies of God's grace. jhmi@jimhockaday.com. You find that on jimhockaday.com website. Go to that email, send those in. We can't wait to see you again. Hey, come on back for the next part here of God's determination.